When the Slovak writer Pavol Rankov published his novel It Happened on September the 1st, or whenever, in 2009, it came out just after the Slovak national football team had beaten the Czech Republic. In an enthusiastic review, one Czech critic suggested that the same had now happened in literature, and that Rankov's literary achievement had put his Czech contemporaries to shame. When the author came to Prague earlier this week, David Vaughan took the opportunity to talk to him about a remarkable novel that speaks volumes about a part of the world that has seen too much history.
It may seem strange to be talking about a Slovak novel in a program called Czech Books, but Pavel Ranko's brilliant story crosses the borders of Central Europe as they have shifted in the course of the 20th century. A Czech-Slovak-Hungarian-Jewish love story, the novel follows the fates of four young people from Levice, a small town in southern Slovakia, where nations and languages have always overlapped. The novel covers the 30 years from 1938 to 1968, a period when the town found itself in the midst of national and political struggles that wrecked the lives of ordinary people. There is drama and tragedy, but this is also a book with a lightness of touch and a sense of place, character and humour that makes it hard to put down. I asked Pavol Ranko how the book first came about.
Na úplnom začiatku písania tejto knihy boli spomienky mojho otca, ale nie spomienky zapísané, ale skôr také.
It all started with my father's memories, things he'd say in our day-to-day conversations. He'd talk about things like his childhood friend who moved to Brazil and became a millionaire trading coffee. And he'd always end by saying, "But nobody's interested in any of that these days." But it was so fascinating that I said I'd try to write down his memories, and the book began to grow around these stories.
Začal vytvárať celý ten strom tejto knihy. And then you encounter the problem of where the story begins and where the history ends, because there's always a certain tension, isn't there, between fact and fiction.
No, ono je to tak, že tie malé príbehy, tá malá história.
I have the feeling that the little stories, the stories of real people, are closer to reality and truth than the big historical events. History on the grand scale is overburdened with ideology, patriotism and things like that, while the stories, the oral history of ordinary people, are closer to reality and truth.
Jednoduchých ľudí, tak tam má v sebe viac skutočnosti a viac pravdy.
And if I were to describe the plot of the book briefly, it sounds almost formulaic, having the three young lads all admiring the same girl. One of the boys is Czech, another Hungarian, the third is Jewish, and the girl that they're in love with, she's Slovak. It sounds almost too formulaic for a novel, but one of the things that I really admire about the book is that you manage to tell a story in a way which flows so naturally.
No, táto schéma, že sú traja chlapci každej inej národnosti a jedna.
This formula, having three boys of different nationalities and a girl of yet another nationality, does sound a bit artificial. And when I started writing the book, I said to myself that this was a danger I needed to avoid. I didn't want it to end up being pre-programmed or politically correct.
Nebolo to nejaké predprogramované alebo politicky korektné alebo podobne.
Here is a short extract from the opening chapter in my own working translation. Peter, Honza and Gabriel were at the swimming pool. Shading their eyes against the afternoon sun, they sat with their legs dangling from the low concrete wall. From time to time they would spit out the thick saliva that builds up in dry mouths. It was the first day of school, and they had no homework, so they were taking advantage of the free afternoon to sit and admire their classmate, Maria Balayova. The little beauty was sitting nearby with her parents and younger brother Yurko. Usually she would wear her hair tied in a large ponytail, but now as it dried, her hair was flowing thick and free in all directions. "Oh, honey-coloured locks," Honza said. Honza had a habit of reading his sister's romantic novels. The latest was called Trembling Hearts. Peter and Gabriel had got used to their friend's habit of drawing from these writers to describe Maria's beauty. They themselves could not have put it so succinctly. Maria reached into a bag for a plum, and with her long fingers popped it into her mouth. "What lovely lips!" Gabrielle sighed. "Dark red. Crimson," said Honza, looking for the right word. "Nempieros, verosh," Peter muttered.
I think in another interview you've said at some point that it's been the fate of this part of Central Europe, that there have just been too many different nations, too many different languages, all in a very small area, all overlapping. And that's really part of what the book is about, isn't it? The inability of all these different groups of people to live peacefully alongside one another.
Je to zaujímavé, že vlastne približne od začiatku druhej svetovej vojny tu.
It's interesting that from around the beginning of the Second World War in this part of Europe, far greater emphasis began to be put on nationality. And even though we then had 40 years of communism, which talked of proletarian internationalism, we still see each other first and foremost through our nationality. When I started writing down my father's memories, I'd ask if a particular family was Slovak or Hungarian, and he'd sometimes reply, "You can't really say. You know, we didn't used to define ourselves in that way." It's a paradox that after 40 years of communism and 20 years of globalization, we still haven't gone back to what it was like before the war, when people didn't see each other primarily as members of an ethnic group.
Ľudia sa nevnímajú a priori ako príslušníci etnickej skupiny.
And in fact, one of the pleasures of reading the book is the mixture of different languages that creep into the story. You have Slovak, Czech, Hungarian, bits of German, Russian, even modern Hebrew, all creeping into the story in one way or another, which I think is wonderful because that really is very authentic, of course, although it makes it difficult to read the book in places. Like I was thinking, oh, I wonder what that Hungarian sentence means.
No, používam v tej knihe viacero jazykov.
I use several languages in the book because I thought that, in the context of the time, the language tells us more than if I'd translated it into my mother tongue. I don't actually speak Hungarian or German, so I'm using languages I don't actually know.
Ja používam v tej knihe aj jazyky, ktorými sám nehovorím.
I believe that pre-war Czechoslovakia was the most international state in Europe, the most different nations all living alongside one another. Today's Czech Republic is actually one of the least international states in Europe because so much has happened since the Second World War with the expulsion of the Sudeten Germans. Very few Jewish people survived, and many of those who did left after the war. In Slovakia, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Because approximately 10% of the population is Hungarian-speaking.
Áno, na Slovensku je 10% maďarský.
Yes, in Slovakia, 10% of the population speaks Hungarian. They are ethnic Hungarians, but I don't think this has to be a problem. It only becomes a problem when elections are coming up, but there isn't really a solution. I hope Hungarians will remain Hungarian and Slovaks Slovak. The only solution is not to politicize the issue.
Riešenie je to, že proste sa tá otázka prestane politicky zneužívať.
I was actually more interested from the other point of view, that I should imagine it must enrich the culture, having that encounter of two different languages, two different ways of life, two different literatures and two different literary traditions, that I see in your book that there's a little bit of that Hungarian paprika in the otherwise Slovak story.
Určite, že maďarská paprika dodáva.
Certainly, the Hungarian paprika gives a flavor to Slovak life and adds a certain dynamism. I think it enriches the society to be confronted with such a sizable minority, which also includes excellent writers like Lajos Grendel or Peter Hunčík, who are respected even in Hungary itself. They both clearly state that they feel at home in Slovakia. I have two daughters who are 12 and 14, and I've noticed how this phenomenon broadens their horizons and brings up all sorts of complications, but I think that's how you learn how the world works.
Množstvo otázok, ale tak sa myslím, že človek zoznamuje s tým, čo je to svet.
And it is a book because of the time it's set in, it's a book that's about Czechoslovakia, and there are many Czech elements in the book. One of the main heroes is Czech. Part of the book is set in Brno. It's really very much a Czechoslovak or a Slovak-Czech book, isn't it?
Áno, tá kniha, pokiaľ hovorí o tom období, keď existovalo Československo.
Yes, given that the book deals with the period when Czechoslovakia existed, I think it's right to take the Czech angle, the Czech point of view, into consideration. European history tends to be very nationalistic. Each nation writes its own history in its own language, so I try to look at history as written by both sides.
Pozrieť sa na tie dejiny aj tak, ako by ich písali tí druhí.
And another thing that is very interesting about the book is that it has been also published in Czech translation. And this is something that traditionally in the time of Czechoslovakia didn't happen because it was taken for granted that Czechs could read Slovak, Slovaks could read Czech. But it has appeared in the Czech Republic in Czech translation, which I was very pleased about because it's much easier for me as a foreigner to read Czech than it is to read Slovak. But this must have been a rather strange feeling for you.
Ja som hneď do začiatku veľmi túžil potom, aby tá kniha bola preložená.
From the very start, I was keen for the book to be translated into Czech and Hungarian, and I'm really glad that has happened. In the past, it was a big mistake that Slovak books weren't translated into Czech, because Czechs always found it harder to read Slovak than Slovaks did to read Czech. It meant that they didn't read Slovak and made the wrong assumption that Slovak literature didn't even exist. It created an imbalance, and it would have been much better if the whole time Slovak books had been translated into Czech.
Permanentne proste slovenské knihy prekladali do češtiny.
And it was a very funny feeling for me reading the book in Czech translation that it didn't strike me as being in the slightest bit foreign, which was surprising because I think if I were to read a novel, a Polish novel or a German novel here in Czech translation, I would have a very different feeling. There does seem to be a very strong sense, I suppose, of commonality, I suppose partly because of the common history of the two nations.
No, ja myslím, že 20 rokov po rozdelení Československa.
I think that 20 years after the separation of Czechoslovakia, it's high time we started realizing that these are two independent countries, two independent and separate nations. We've now been living apart for as long as we lived together in the pre-war Czechoslovakia. Despite the nostalgia, I think that there are two different worlds now. The fact that they are similar, that's a bonus. It means that we can build bridges. We have to accept that we are separate and find the best possible ways for our two different cultures to communicate.
Najpriaznivejšie vzťahy pre komunikáciu dvoch oddelených kultúr.